Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. We also would invite you to be with us live and in person this morning. Sunday school is at 9:30. Our worship service is at 10:30. That's at 101 North Oak, the church with the clock in the steeple. Our sister church, Salem UCC, out on Highway K, has church at 8:30. You'd certainly be welcome there, and we'd be glad to see you. Again, thank you for listening to A Time of Hope.
Together and read our call to worship. So taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed are those who take refuge in Him.
Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Let us worship the Lord with gladness. Let us pray together. Eternal God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that Christ may be truly present as we share this meal. Help us to see beyond these physical elements of bread and wine, to behold our great love for us. Build our faith, rid us of our unrighteousness, and bind us together as one. Amen.
Special music is a duet by two of our young church members, Ada Milligan and Brenna Hall. They sing Kindness Sings.
When I'm feeling all
David Gadamer reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, What Does Communion Mean?
Please join me in today's prayer for illumination. O God, you are the source of all that is good. Grant, by your inspiration, we may think those things that are right, and by your loving guidance, that we may do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The first scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 17 to 30. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain one and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he sat at the table with the 12 disciples, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who had betrayed him, said, "Is it I, Master?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This ends the first scripture lesson. Our second scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And this ends today's scripture lessons.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, young ladies, for beautiful music. I really enjoyed that. You know, it bothers me that I don't know everyone's name, but it's pretty hard to do that. I've met thousands of people over my lifetime, believe it or not. So I just try to concentrate on my family, grandkids and great-grandkids, and a few people in our family to make sure I remember their names. But I'll remember some of your names as we go along. Well, this week I did several things here at the church that I enjoyed. I met with the Christian Education Board. It's a wonderful group of people. They're doing a wonderful job. And I don't think you realize it. There aren't that many Sunday schools anymore in mainline churches. It's just kind of a thing that has gone away as attendances have dropped and people have gone. So you should be very proud of your wonderful Sunday school and all the programs that are part of that. Don and I drove out to Jamestown because we wanted to see where Reverend Cobb has his church, two churches. And so we visited that community. And we've been up to Columbia at the university. We've been in Jefferson City at Walmart. I mean, you got to go Walmart. Then Alan Mortensen took me out to visit Harriet Bryant, a wonderful lady, and her daughter and husband came over. And by the way, they said they have a lot of cats, a lot of kittens. If you want one, they have them. And they're free. I mean, it's just whatever, how many you want. But I would not be able to have gotten by as long as I have if it wasn't my secretary, Rhonda. She really knows what's going on in the church, and she's helped me tremendously. By the way, I think I might change my name. I might add a name to mine, like Michael Matheny Roarback, or Michael Matheny Burger. I think it helped me fit in a little bit better, but I don't know what's going to happen. But today we are gathering around the table to receive communion. And there's basically two views about communion in the Christian church. One is on the Catholic Orthodox Church side, and the other is on the Protestant side. And on the Catholic side, over the years, they have developed this idea of transubstantiation. It's not in the Bible, but it's something that has developed through church councils or the different things to where that is the that is their teaching and belief right now. And what they believe is that as the priest is there, he blesses the bread and the cup, and they are transformed to be the physical body and blood of Christ. That they actually become his body and his blood. And so it's very important to them to receive those elements in order to be forgiven of sin. And in a typical mass that as they gather, the real emphasis and is on taking the bread and the cup. They're not concerned about sermons or homilies. If the priest speaks 10 or 15 minutes, that's enough. Because the real object of worship is to receive the bread and the cup. When I served as a chaplain at different times, I was able to give Catholic patients communion because the elements that I was using had been consecrated at a local Catholic church. So we would take them to Catholic church near the hospital and they would consecrate them so that they could be used for Catholic patients. In the Protestant church, it's always been seen as a little bit different from church to church. In the mainline churches, like this one, the understanding is that as we receive these elements, we are experiencing the real presence of Christ. Christ is here. I mean, the elements themselves don't have any kind of magical or effect to them. But as we eat and drink, Jesus is here with us, with his love and with his forgiveness. In more conservative churches, they see it more as a symbol. To them, these are just symbols of what God has done for them in the cross. So those are just a few of the little ways that they're different. And I hate to tell you this, I'm disappointed, but within the Christian church, there are a number of groups which have closed communion. That means if you're not a member of that church or that denomination, you cannot take communion if you're there. That really helped me in one of the churches that I had in Milwaukee one Sunday morning. This real attractive young couple came with children to the service, and afterwards, you know, I met them, and they became involved. He was taking his doctorate at Marquette University in New Testament, so he taught a class. He was Methodist in background. His wife was a wonderful pianist, and so she played the piano, and we became good friends. And so one day he told me why they came to the church that Sunday morning. He said they had been attending a church in the area of where they lived until one time the pastor told them that if they were not members, they would not be able to receive communion. And so that very morning, he came over by us, and they were there until he graduated. In Catholic churches, you cannot take communion if you visit there because you're not a member. Some Lutherans, some conservative churches. There are some churches on this street where you cannot receive communion if you attended this morning. I don't think that's what Jesus intended, but that's the way it is. Because within the UCC, we believe in open communion, that any Christian who comes, any person who wants to receive God's love and forgiveness, they're welcome to receive these gifts. And so that's something that we believe very strongly. It's interesting, too, that taking of communion is sometimes dependent upon your age. Why I say that is within the Catholic and the Orthodox tradition, you cannot receive communion until your first communion. After you've studied and gone to classes, you take your first communion. And it's really a big deal within the Catholic Church. The family and the whole church community, they celebrate every one of the young people who is receiving their first communion. In the UCC, in most of the UCC, communion is a part of confirmation. After you've gone through confirmation, then you can receive communion. That's not true in a lot of other Protestant churches. The church that Donna and I attend in Albuquerque have no age restrictions on when you children can take communion. If they're old enough to understand what Jesus has done for us, what what he has given to us, then if the parents, you know, agree, then young children come and receive communion. And it's interesting to me, too, that there's several Christian denominations that don't have communion at all. One is Quakers. If you remember, Nixon was a Quaker. And the Salvation Army do not see a need for it. And so it's just so interesting to see how it has developed into the different groups over the years. But there's at least three things that are important about communion as we take it. Of course, number one, it's a remembrance of God's love and forgiveness. The scriptures say God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever puts their faith in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John said, here is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave us his Son as the forgiveness for our sins. And so it's a wonderful time of remembering all of the ways in which God loves us and is at work in our life over the years and continues to. Then secondly, it is this recognition of Christ's presence that I was talking about earlier. We believe that as we gather at the table, Christ gathers at the table with us. And as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are participating in his love and in his forgiveness in a very real way. And then third, it is a great example of unity of our church and of the church universal. In the first churches after the death and resurrection of Jesus, people gathered in little small groups. Sometimes they had to hide in secret because of persecution. And they had a little meal together, and then they broke the bread and shared the cup in a wonderful fellowship that they had together. And we, as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are united with millions of Christians around the world in every city and every place, large cathedrals to little grass huts in various places in the world. People of every color and every background. And all of us have this in common. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are remembering our wonderful Savior.
Thank you.
So the loaf is broken, the cup is poured, and you are nourished. May the dawn of Christ light, may the dawn of Christ light your way of peace.
Hallelujah.